Whoever you are, wherever you come from, whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Elaine Yaley Bowen, and I am today's worship associate, and I am joined by our service leader, Saunice Parsons, and the Sacred Song Circle. I'd like to extend a special welcome to those of you who are with us for the first time today. We have a treat for you.
Once upon a time, wasn't singing a part of everyday life as much as talking, physical exercise, and religion? Our distant ancestors, wherever they were in this world, sang while pounding grain, paddling canoes, or walking on long journeys. Can we begin to make our lives more all of a piece? Finding the right songs and singing them over and over is a way to start. When one person taps out a beat while another leads into the melody, or when three people discover a harmony they never knew existed, or a crowd joins in on a chorus as though to raise the ceiling a few feet higher, then they also know there is hope for the world.
The call to worship is part of the service. When the celebrants invite you into the holy with us to worship together in beloved community. Often this is done with a reading, a poem, a story, a personal reflection, or a combination of all of those. Today's invitation is the story of a 14-year-old girl who loved to sing. She had been in her school's glee club from fourth grade through junior high school. And when she entered the ninth grade in high school, she went to join the choir but was unable to do so. There was no open enrollment. It was by audition. She was told no choir for her. She was not good enough. 14 is a bit of a tender age, and she took the rejection hard. She stopped singing. For 26 years, she did not sing. At age 40, she began attending a church and heard all sorts of lovely music. It took some time to get used to hymns and God language, but eventually it seemed natural to want to sing again. She was afraid. Afraid of rejection and afraid of not being good enough. From her usual seat, she began to sing, timidly at first, because she was very rusty, hit some off, really off notes, but no one laughed. No one said she sounded terrible, even if they may have thought it. No one told her she was not good enough. And one person encouraged her to join in this new ministry of song, the Thursday Night Sacred Song Circle. With the positive influence of Saunas Parsons and many Thursday evenings of singing in community, I have overcome my fears and sang in a choir this summer for the first time in 40 years. I am good enough. Singing is a gift to myself. It is meditation. It is prayer. It is the voice of holiness. It is inner peace. It is joy. May it be yours as well.
Now let us sing.
Sing to the power of the joy within.
Now let us sing. Sing to the power of the joy within. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Be not afraid. Now let us sing to the power of the joy within.
Come, let us worship. Come. Let us sing together.
I want to tell you, when Elaine sang in the choir this summer, she was right in front of the microphone every single morning. She was the person that they put right in the middle, and she sounded awesome. We will be doing our congregational singing a little differently today. Did you say something?
Okay.
Sorry. We'll be doing our congregational singing a little differently today. First of all, you'll notice that we have not included a hymn number or words in your program, and I even asked Jonathan to actually take all the numbers off of the board. I'll explain why later, but suffice it to say that the song that we're going to do is simple enough to pick up on the fly and is probably somewhat familiar to most of you. You are free to sing the words as you are able, hum or ooh, sing la 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 la, or stand quietly. Sing melody or harmony as you are led. And secondly, we will be trying to turn ourselves into a clump of voices by turning ourselves in towards the aisle and or filling in the aisle. Stand as you are willing and able. The physical layout of the room isn't perfectly fitted to singing like this, but we're going to do the best that we can. Please remain standing in the clump after the hymn for the unison reading of our UU covenant and the singing of the doxology.
Our wisdom words this morning to lead us into silence and meditative reflection are by the author Richard Llewellyn in his novel, How Green Was My Valley, published in 1939. Sing then, sing indeed, with shoulders back and head up so that song might go to the roof and beyond the sky. Mass on mass of tune, with a hard edge and rich with quality. Every single note, a carpet of color woven from brass profundo and brasso and baritone and alto and tenor and soprano and also mezzo and contralto, singing and singing until life and all things living are become a song. Let us sit in silence for a few moments, contemplating the song of life, the song in our hearts, the song of our lives. Each time we gather for worship, we set aside time to widen the caring ministry of this beloved congregation. We take time to memorialize those who have died, to celebrate with those who are joyous, and to call into this community of care all who need our love and support. This morning, It is in remembrance of Labor Day and all of those who have gone before us, who have worked on our collective behalf for working conditions, for fair wages, for equal treatment. We know there is still work to be done as the gap between blue and white collar ever widens. May we pray for a shrinkage of that gap and for equality for all working persons. We also acknowledge the tremendous humanitarian crisis that is happening with the Syrian people all over the world. We are grateful to our brothers and sisters of Austria, Hungary, and Germany who have welcomed many of them. May all borders be open so that these people in desperate need find asylum and sanctuary. Please join me now in the spirit of prayer or meditation, as is your practice. Spirit of life and of love, we are grateful for this beautiful September day and for being together in good health and in fellowship. In that spirit, we are aware of those less fortunate than ourselves, those without adequate food or shelter, those in fear, those who are ill. We know that we have gifts that we can offer. May we find it in our hearts to do so, so that all may enjoy the blessings of life and of this beautiful planet. Amen.
We're going to sing together. Walking with you is my prayer. You guys will gather in sacred song circle formation.
Walking, walking with you.
Walking with you is my
tell you how excited I am to be here today for this service, and I'm really tickled to see so many smiling faces out there on a holiday weekend. So, several years ago, I was asked to do a presentation for the adult RE group on using music as a spiritual practice. I agreed to do it, but I remember thinking that I wasn't sure I was going to have anything to say on the topic. Sure, you know, I do a lot of music, I sing, I play the guitar, but I hadn't ever really thought about it being a spiritual practice necessarily. I just did it for fun. But as I reflected on the subject, I realized that in my life, I had experienced a handful of times when I had been powerfully moved in ways that I had heard others describe as peak experiences. Moments of connective ecstasy, electric, powerful, and breathtaking. And the common denominator for all of those experiences was that they occurred while I was singing with large groups of people. Now, at the time, I didn't think of them as spiritual experiences, but I had recognized that they were deeply moving, not just for me, but also for the others that were singing with me. I wasn't sure what had happened exactly to make those occasions so different, but I knew that what I had experienced was something special. A few years later, I ran across a teeny tiny little article that investigated a little air sac in the inner ear called the sacula, which is just Latin for little sac. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I'm going to tell you that I read this article, honest to God, many years ago, and I did find them again a few years ago. But when I went to look for them this time so that I could reference them for this service, do you think I could find them anywhere on the giant, wide, worldwide interwebs? No, I could not. So if anybody runs across them, would you please let me know? So anyway, back to the sacula. Now, I had learned about anvils and stirrups and hammers and semicircular canals in the inner ear back in grade school, but nobody had ever mentioned a sacula before. The article explained that the sacula was something we had inherited from our distant ancestors, the fish. In fish, this air sac has a couple of functions. First, it allows a fish to swim upright in the water and control the depth at which it's swimming. So if you see a fish like swimming around like this, its sacula is not in good shape. The second function allows a fish to sense vibration in the water through that sensory line that runs down the sides of a fish's body. This system allows fish to find food, avoid predators, or swim in formation with all their other fishy friends in their school. The article went on to say that prior to this study, it was assumed that the sacula was a vestigial organ in humans, a useless relic of our fishy past. But the researchers got a surprise when they discovered that it responded to vibration. More specifically, it seemed to respond to loud vibrations, like the kinds of vibrations found when people sing or chant loudly together. They further noted that it seemed to be tied into the pleasure centers in the brain, and that when it is stimulated, it can cause cascades of hormones to be produced. Hormones that reduce stress, elevate mood, and even help with tissue repair. Who'd have thunk it? This was an aha moment for me. This might explain how those past peak experiences were triggered, and if that was true, then I might be able to recreate them. Around that time, I also saw a PBS documentary that examined the evolutionary and neurobiological roots of music. And one of the things that stuck with me was a section that looked at the connection between music, like singing and chanting and drumming, and the world's religions. They noted that many, if not all, of the world's religions seem to incorporate some form of music that helps create feelings of connection with the holy and feelings of transcendence. The documentarians asserted that music is processed at least partly in the temporal lobe, which is also where many scientists think that humans' experience of God is centered. Putting these pieces together, it occurred to me that singing together in groups could potentially create positive emotional and physical responses in people and could help create feelings of connection with the divine or to create sacred space. I began to try to set up circumstances where this might happen, and I was thrilled when it seemed to work. Singing by myself didn't trigger this response. Just listening to music, no matter how beautiful, did not trigger this response. Playing the guitar did not trigger it. Singing with others was what triggered it, especially when there was harmony. I also discovered that it was much easier to feel the vibration if a certain threshold of sound and harmony was reached, and that it was easier to reach that threshold if we sang in tight clumps, in acoustically reflective surroundings, instead of being all spread out in a big egalitarian circle or in rows facing dignifiedly towards the front. Now that I could recreate those experiences, I began to look for folks to share this with. And as I did, I kept encountering people who were afraid to sing. They related experiences to me of being told that they should never sing in front of other people, that they just couldn't sing and they should not try, that their singing was offensive to other people. Many said that they loved to sing as a child but stopped when they were discouraged from it. Others simply thought they just weren't good enough at music to be involved in singing. Their voice wasn't good enough, or they couldn't read music, or they didn't have perfect pitch, or they couldn't carry a melody. Most of those folks love music, but they never participated in creating music. As I heard this over and over, I have to confess, it made me really sad. All these people who would never have an opportunity to experience this awesome feeling of making music in community because they thought they just weren't good enough at it. From my perspective, it was almost as though something had been amputated from their lives. They were cut off. Plus, it did make it hard to recruit people who would sing with me. So out of all this, I created the Sacred Song Circle as a way to create community and sacred space through group singing, and I have been encouraged and gratified to find that others find it as rewarding as I do. Some people wonder about what kinds of songs are sacred songs. For me, the process of creating community through song is a large part of what makes it sacred. But the songs themselves come from lots of religious traditions. Some are campfire songs or folk songs or even children's songs. The songs celebrate or promote a positive theme like peace, love, care for the earth, community, or forgiveness. And I choose ones that are easy to learn quickly, like zipper songs, where most of the song is kept the same, but a word or phrase is substituted for part of it, like the song we sang earlier. Come and go with me to that land. There'll be healing in that land. There'll be singing in that land. Other songs are already somewhat familiar to many people in our culture through scouts or church or school. So, I need water here. So this is not really a complicated process. First of all, it's open to anybody, regardless of age or gender or singing expertise or experience. I want anyone who wants to sing to have a chance to use their voice in a group without feeling that they have to be good enough. Secondly, we sing without referring to any kind of printed words or music. There are a lot of reasons for this. This allows us to focus on the sound we create together instead of being worried about how the song is supposed to go. No worrying about what verse we're on, or even if we all know the same words. We can sing with our eyes closed or look around at the shining faces in front of us because we aren't all looking down at our music. Not using printed music also cuts down on our paper use, and it lets us avoid some copyright issues. It's a consideration. It also levels the playing field for people with visual impairments. So, you know, folks that have words and can read them aren't ahead of folks who can't read them. It also makes us sing from memory, and it encourages us to commit words and tunes to memory. Having songs memorized makes them available to us at any time we might need comfort or relief from stress or boredom, or on the off chance that we might get to have an impromptu sing. Not having printed music also means we don't always sing songs the same way twice. We create new harmonies. We repeat verses. We skip verses. We sing without words. So if you find you don't know a particular song, you may listen without singing, or sing without words, or jump in whenever you feel comfortable. Sing the words you do know. Make up harmony. Just be sure to listen to the people around you and open yourself to being part of a harmonious whole. We sing from silence into silence, mostly. We begin to lose the feeling of sacred space when there's a lot of talking between songs. And we lose a lot of singing time when there's a lot of talking between songs. So we try to start each new song out of the silence. And at the end of each song, we lapse into silence and breathe. Sometimes you can feel the vibrations dying down as we stand quietly. Now, I did say we mostly sing from silence into silence, because sometimes we just can't help ourselves but get really excited when the music has been sacrilegious, as one of my SI friends says. But we do try to come back to silence as soon as we can. The last feature of the Sacred Song Circle that is different from most other group singing experiences is the way that we arrange ourselves. We clump. We crowd. We don't make a nice, big, egalitarian circle where everybody's equal. We don't spread out in rows or leave lots of space between us and our neighbor. We huddle together to create the vortex of sound that we're looking for. And because the center of the circle is the center of the vortex, I often encourage people to try moving into and out of the center of the circle as the song circle carries on, to get a chance to experience that awesome vibration there. So before we move into a period of singing in community, let me end with these words from Nicholas Sparks. Life, he realized, was much like a song. In the beginning, there is mystery. In the end, there is confirmation. But it's in the middle where all the emotion resides to make the whole thing worthwhile. Now, please join me in as much of a clump as we can manage, given our physical constraints, and let us sing together. If you are able to stand for the entire time, that's great. If you must sit, please feel free to do that as well. Aisle seats can be turned inwards if folks want to sit in them in the inner circle. And please feel free to move around as we're singing. Olive is welcome to sit if she wants. Oh, you're going to turn her chair? Oh, excellent, excellent. That would be great. I'm going to move more towards the center because I like the way the center feels.
gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside, singing war no more.
Gracias.
that hails a new
are attributed to Vincent van Gogh. In the end, we shall have had enough of cynicism, skepticism, and humbug, and we shall want to live more musically. Go in peace, singing as you go.